I am currently instructing a woman in the faith, Andy Twiggs. For a month she kept it secret from her husband, who has no faith to speak of, never baptized. Once she told him, he immediately said, "You need help." You need a psychiatrist. In the eyes of those who do not have our faith, I mean it, we are, to use a common expression, out of our minds. With the life of Christ in our souls, we can see that He is our God. With the life of Christ in our souls, we can see and see with our minds and therefore accept that the host that we received at Mass today was Jesus Christ, the real presence. And one Catholic church after another is becoming a Quaker meeting hall. Tabernacles disappearing. Pews removed. Some months ago I gave a lecture to a group of Catholic businessmen in Ann Arbor. And we touched on this subject, and I told them, "Now you men, I'm sure, believe in the real presence." "Yes, they did." "Can I ask you to do something?" "By now you know, not everybody genuflects before the Blessed Sacrament. What could be more obvious?" "Well, you men promise, how many will promise, to your dying day you will always genuflect before the Blessed Sacrament?" First they looked at each other. These are all successful businessmen. "How many?" 10 hands went up. "How many?" I didn't let up until every hand was raised. "Can I ask the same promise of you? How many of you, for the rest of your lives, will genuflect before the Blessed Sacrament?" I'm not being rhetorical, believe me. Because having, as we believe, the life of Christ in our souls, we know, we see with our minds, enlightened by faith, that Jesus Christ is here. Second implication. We are able to love. How about my friends? We better know our Catholic vocabulary. The same English monosyllable, L-O-V-E. I dare say, has as many meanings as there are people who use the language. Having the life of Christ in our souls, we're able to love. But mind you, the word love for us means what Christ intended it to mean when he told us, love one another as I have loved you. And here, St. John 15:12. What are we able to do with the life of Christ dwelling in our souls? We're able to love unlovable people. Love people who hate us. Love those who hate us. Love those who oppose us. And to love such people during our whole life on earth, perseveringly, patiently, enduringly. My dear sisters in Christ, you have to have another life in you besides your natural one. Only the life of Christ dwelling our souls enables us to love as Christ wants us to love. It is impossible to naked human nature. Third implication. Having, as we believe, Christ in our souls by his grace, meaning his life, you're able to endure. According to the measure of this life in our souls, you're able to endure in the measure, I repeat, that our lives are like his, patiently. Again, a quotation. A servant, that's us. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you too. And again, John, this time, 15:20. You know how specific I could be, how autobiographical I could get. The moment we decide to give ourselves totally to Jesus Christ, you're going to begin paying for it as you've never had to before. And the worst pain, as you know, is not in the body. Give me a stiletto any day. Like the man, 3 o'clock in the morning, in lower Manhattan, stupidly tried to walk back from a meeting I had in lower Manhattan back to 86th Street in the morning. Man walking towards me. Well, thought I'd pass him by. Well, I eventually did, otherwise I wouldn't be here. Grabbed me by the shoulder with his left hand, his right hand pulled out. Every bit of 15 inches. Head against my chest. How long, I don't know. I lost track of time. That give me a dagger or a sword in my chest any day compared to someone's venomous tongue. We touched on this before, and we'll mention it again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, examine your consciences during this retreat and resolve, with God's grace, resolve and promise Him, dear Lord, out of love for You, I will control my tongue and use it only according to Your will. Only God knows the spiritual murders committed by the human tongue. That was number 3. Number 4. Because we have His life of Christ in our souls, we are able to sacrifice even the most precious things in our life. Sacrifice, as you know, means the surrender of something precious for God. The only way we can ensure happiness is to resolve to live lives of sacrifice. Surrendering, giving up what we like because God wants us. Well, to give it up. Or to do what He wants us to do, even though it means the sacrifice of the dearest possession we have on earth in the natural order, and that is our own, oh, sweet, fragrant, delightful, ecstatically enjoyable free will. Left an orphan, I'm a widowed mother at the age of 1. I know how well I know what self-will means. Nobody has to tell me. I know. And I'm still working at it. But the secret of the deepest joy on earth, I mean this with all my heart, is the surrender of our own will to the will of God. Again, a quotation from our Lord. Anyone who loses his life for my sake, they'll find it. Thanks, Lord. That's Matthew 10:39. Anyone who loses his life for my sake, they'll find it. Lord, You are so right. So right. But it is so hard to get people to believe it. They hold on and hold on. As the expression goes, for dear life, let go, let go. Let go of what? Let go of material possessions. America is the most affluent nation in human history. I spent a week in Mexico City last month giving lectures. Not just poverty, destitution, an area not as large, much smaller than that of Greater Chicago. 25 million people. Oh, what a dream world so many Americans are living in. Letting go of health of body. Here I can speak with some experience. Most think I'm boasting. Well, I'm not. I counted them. Now is 22 hospitalizations. Whatever we don't want naturally is bodily pain. But to let go of our desire for bodily comfort, bodily ease, bodily health, and I have to add, and bodily death. See, none of us will ever die. You know that, don't you? You'll never die. The body dies. All right, so the body dies. And decays. For the soul, once created by God, lives on forever. Over the years, seeing lecturing to an unfriendly audience, and I've had the occasion more than once. Well, I don't tell the audience this. But I look at the people there, and I see in my mind's eye a hall full of skeletons. Who is afraid of a skeleton? Giving up, sacrificing the acceptance and praise of other people. Oh, what slaves we can be of human respect. And the worst part of it is we don't even know that we're chained. We rattle the chains behind us and we think that's music. We are able, because of the life of Christ in our souls, to sacrifice success on worldly terms. We are able to sacrifice our preferences, our time, our money, our effort, I repeat, what a nightmarish world so many people, especially in our over-educated, materially, Holy Father's term, materially super-developed country. What a nightmarish world they can be living in. No wonder 90% of all the reading that Americans do is fiction. Sustaining the dream. To keep out of touch with reality. with God's grace, the life of Christ dwelling in our souls, we can go where we are. Otherwise, I wouldn't dare talk this way to you. The only real world is the world that our faith reveals to us. And for the sake of this world, the only real world of God, of His Immaculate Mother, of the angels and saints, for the sake of that real world, given the life of Christ in our souls, we are willing, happy, to surrender, otherwise known as sacrifice, everything in this, well, dream world, in which so many of our contemporaries are living. Number 5. We identify the implications of this life of Christ in our souls. We're able to be meek and humble under provocation and in the possession of great gifts. And we repeat, because we have this life of the Son of God dwelling in our souls, we are able to be meek and humble. Notice the conditions: under provocation and in the possession of great gifts. And now we all know, having heard so many times, our Lord's only single direct command, imperative mood, learn of me because I am meek and humble of heart. This time, Matthew 11:29. To be meek under provocation. In other words, we all naturally speaking, it's our nature. We are naturally irascible. We naturally do not want to take it and say nothing. You're not naturally meek. How well I know about one sinner . But, even more fundamentally, we are able, with the life of Christ in our souls, to be humble in the possession of great gifts. I believe every Catholic should memorize the Magnificat of Our Lady. And over the years, I would spend my Lents memorizing the New Testament. One gospel per Lent. Reread. Meditate on what Our Lady says in the Magnificat, and then live it. My soul, she says, magnifies the Lord. Who would the world magnify? Well, dare I say, the saints, which in the eyes of the world are the achievers. In the eyes of God, they can be criminals. My soul magnifies the Lord, and hear the next words, and rejoices in God my Savior. how a lady, as the angel told her, was the happiest of women. Why? Because she found all her joy, in, as she told the angel, be it done to me according to your word. How careful I must be what women I say this to. I wish he saw, couldn't believe it, but there it was, a photograph of Mary the modern woman. I'd have to take this striding, head up, mistress of the world. And I taught in New York City for 14 years, and I've been going to New York for almost 40 years. We got the New York Times every day at Detroit University where I live. My regular evening mortification the day after is to read the New York Times from the day before. In all these years, I've only once seen a review. I couldn't believe my eyes. A review of a book on the Blessed Virgin in the New York Times. Can't be. Oh, but then I read the review. It was. The woman author told her fellow women, and she had been a Catholic. It's about time that women stopped looking at Mary as their model. To begin with, men wrote the Gospels. Isn't that terrible? What did Our Lady say? Our Lady in her Magnificat praises God for the great things that He has done for her. She made the incredible prophecy that all generation will call me blessed because the Lord had done great things for me. Humility is not hiding one's gifts, not ignoring one's gifts, and least of all denying those gifts. Humility is using the gifts that God gave us, but always, what a hard adverb this is to live, always give credit for everything that is good in your life to God. One more resolution I'd like to recommend to you. The moment. 2 moments is too long. The moment. The moment a self-complacent thought arises in your mind. The moment you begin looking in the mirror of your own mind, admiring what's there, immediately turn away. Number 6. You're able to be at peace